Well, good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. So good to see each and every one that's here gathered to God's house. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and be near to us as we're once again found in his house this evening. Just go through the announcements as briefly as possible. We do remind you tomorrow night that the children's meeting is back on at 7 p.m. here in the church. And can we just mention that it is finishing at the earlier time just for the 1 week. And all being well, we'll be finished by 7:45 tomorrow night. So the bus will be back out again a little bit earlier. And that is because our Bible conference commences at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. And that Bible conference is running Monday through to Friday, every night at 8 p.m. And we're inviting and encouraging each and every one to be here as often as you can. Come and join with us. Come and study God's Word with those that are speaking. The Reverend Thomas Murray, the Minister of Lurgan, and Dr. Ian Brown, the Minister in our Martyrs Congregation. Both gentlemen will be along to take night by night these special meetings. And they're open to all to come. And we encourage and invite all to be here. And so as we mentioned, the children's meeting, just finishing that a little bit earlier, give time for the children to get home and then even for others to gather in with us tomorrow night. And so do make those meetings known, as you have been doing, and do make them a matter of prayer. Make them a desire, even in your hearts, to come and even to be here night by night for those special meetings. Then the service is next Sunday, Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then the remembrance service will be at 11:30, and we invite and encourage you to be here as we join with our nation in remembering those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, both in the First and the Second World War, and also the conflicts that there have been right across the world and even in our own land over these many years. And so we invite you, encourage you to set aside next Sunday morning and be here and join with us for that time. Our evening service will continue at 7 p.m. here in the church, and the seasons of prayer before both services are up in the upper room. And it's always good when God's people gather together to pray and to come aside and to spend that time before the Lord, pleading for his blessing and for his help upon the meetings. The Building Fund Sunday is also next week. And if you have any gifts towards that, then we encourage you to leave them in. Next Saturday the 12th of November, again we mention on behalf of the Youth Council that in our Dungannon church from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. they're having a special missionary day. And it's been organised by the Youth Council. There'll be some serving missionaries and also some retired missionaries will be along to give various aspects and various points in relation to the missionary work. Reverend Lyle Boyd will be speaking on what it's like to bring children up in the mission field. And also Miss Margaret Russell will be along to speak. And Mr. Glenn Hamilton, who spent some time already in the mission field, and he is currently finishing his studies in college, and others as well will be along for those special times. So young people and older alike, you're welcome and invited to go along to Dungannon next Saturday. These little books are selling very well by the Reverend Macmillan. We've only 5 left. They're priced at £3, a paper pulpit. And it's all the extracts from his various newspaper articles that he puts into his local paper. He amalgamates them into a book every so often. And his church, the Armagh congregation, pay for the publishing in this book form. And all money that's raised then goes to the mission field and to the missionary work. £3, if you'd like one, put your name in the front porch in the list. And we have them to hand this evening. You haven't been put off by the calendars, that's good. These are selling very well as well. 2023 calendars out from Let the Bible Speak. It is the 50th anniversary edition of it. And they're priced at £5. Again, we have them to hand this evening. If you'd like one, please do put your name on the list as you leave this evening. The Vision magazine is free. Please make sure you've got your copy. There's a copy for every household. You're welcome to take them as you leave and to even look at the various articles that there are and to bring yourself up on the news that has been happening even within our denomination and our missionary fields. We do commend to your prayers this evening for a special service over in our Auchnacloy church tonight. And in their evening service, one of their congregation is going to be ordained and installed as an elder in that congregation, Mr. Benson George. And we do pray that the Lord will bless Benson as he takes up that work of the session of the oversight in the congregation there in Auchnacloy. And we commend him to your prayers and commend the congregation in Auchnacloy that the Lord's blessing will be upon it even in these days. We're going to commence our worship this evening, 252, the hymn 252. We picked the hymns. You'll only have to open to the one page and you'll sort all three of the hymns this evening. 252, the page 278, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See in the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. 252, let's stand together as we sing, please. each night together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into thy most holy presence. Lord, our hearts have been touched even as we sang that hymn together of the great grace of God, the great love, the long-sufferingness of God, that God would stoop so far to come to save such wretched sinners as we. We thank thee for the invitation that God extends to us to come unto him. We think of those words of Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." O Father, we thank thee for the heart of Christ. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee, O God, this night that we can testify that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We come to thee this eventime rejoicing that we have the good news of the gospel. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And O God, we do rejoice even as we considered last Sunday night, Lord, that the gospel brings us from death unto life, makes the blind to see it, brings us out of the darkness, brings us into the marvelous light of Christ. We thank thee for that inheritance that we have with God. We thank thee for the riches of Christ that are available to us, thy people. O Father, we come afresh to this eventime. We confess our need. We confess, O God, that we need thy help even to praise and to worship thee. We confess our need of help to read thy word, to pray. And O God, we confess our great need even to preach. Lord, we ask thee that this night, that this service will be owned and blessed of Almighty God. We're thankful for each one that is here. We acknowledge that thy hand has been upon each one. Thou hast brought them to this house. Thou hast brought them here, O God, with that plan and that purpose, even in thy will, that they will be here tonight to hear thy word. O Father, we pray for preparation of heart. We pray, O God, that each one will be ready to receive thy word. We pray for the stilling of hearts. We pray, O God, for that preparation, O God, and that understanding to be given. That what is said tonight, that each one from the youngest right to the very oldest here, that they will know what the Lord is saying to them. O Father, we pray for mercy to be extended to any that be amongst us that are outside of Christ. We pray, O God, for salvation to come. We pray even for that experience, that testimony that the Lord gave in Zacchaeus' house, that this day salvation has come to thy house. Well, that will be the reality tonight in Six Mile Cross. That salvation will come to this house of God. That there will be those young and old alike that will put their faith and trust in thee. Lord, remember the gospel preaching here. Remember the gospel preaching right across this land. We think, O God, of thy servants who will preach forth Christ and him crucified. We think of those that will be under the sound of thy word this night. Oh, that thy word will find that resting place. That thy word will penetrate to the very depths of the heart. And it will bring forth much fruit. Lord, remember missions at this time. Remember, O God, those efforts that are being made right across the land and further afield. Bless thy servants. We thank thee for souls that have been saved in these weeks. We thank thee, O God, for news that has been coming from other churches that individuals are turning from sin, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. O God, may it continue. O God, may it increase. May we see great showers of blessing come upon our land once again. Lord, build up our churches. Build them up numerically. Build them up spiritually. Build, O God, up thy people to stand for thee. Give us that spiritual backbone. Even in days when Christianity, when the things of God are lambasted, whenever so much public opinion is against thy word, O God, give us that ability to stand. Give us that ability to trust in thee. Lord, to put our faith and our trust completely in thee, to rest in thee completely. O God, be near to thy people. Remember our sister congregation. We think over there in Auchnacloy. We think of our brother Benson as he's ordained to the eldership. Lord, that thou wilt bless him, that he will be a blessing to that congregation, that that congregation will be strengthened in the power of God even in these days. We pray that thou wilt bless in every aspect of it. We pray for all of our churches. We pray for all of our ministers. We pray, O God, for every single part of the work of Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to know that the Lord is the sole King and Head of the Church. We're not putting our faith or our trust in a man tonight, but rather we look unto the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, bless us, we pray thee. Lift up Christ in our midst. Glorify thy Son. O God, hear us this night. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 256, just over the page in 279. 256, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and to me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? 256, again, we'll stand as we sing, please. If you have a Bible with you, we're turning again to the book of Acts in the chapter 26. Come tonight to consider this final part of the chapter. Acts 26. Break into the reading at the verse 22. We'll read down to the end of the chapter together. Acts 26, the verse 22. Paul is continuing to speak. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice and they that sat with them. When they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. As we lift our tithes and our offerings this evening, we're going to sing together the hymn number 253, written with this verse 28 of Acts 26 in mind. "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive." We'll remain seated for the first part, please. Stand and sing the first verse again, and then the verse 3. Verse 1 and verse 3. encourage you to have your Bible open as we look at this passage this evening. Of course, particularly the verse 28. Agrippa says unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." It took as our title the final line of the hymn that we just sang, "Almost but lost." Almost but lost. Let's just still ourselves. Ask the Lord for his help. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart and to challenge you, to search you, to convict you, to convert you. Father in heaven, we pray, oh God, even now as we come to the final part of this meeting, we pray for the hush of eternity to be upon our gathering. We pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be evident. We pray that the Spirit will brood over this gathering, that the Word will be applied as it needs to be. We pray for souls. We pray, O God, that I will speak, that I will save. O Lord, do that work that only Thou canst do. Lord, fill us with Thy Spirit even now as we proclaim Thy Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to make our way through Paul's final trial, his final recorded defense of his faith, of his testimony, we come into this passage and we started at the verse 22, and Paul is in full flow. He has been building it up. He gave those words of testimony of what the Lord did to him on the road to Damascus, of how the Lord arrested him, of how the Lord saved him. He's starting now in these verses as we come into them. He's really starting to apply the gospel to his listening audience. The verse 23, he preaches the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he says that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. A very clear line that he's taken here within his words. He's moved on from simply speaking a word of testimony. He's now really focusing in upon the gospel, upon the truth of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And therefore, he's now bringing a very clear line to the individuals of what the gospel means personally, of how the gospel can even enter into an individual, of the impact that it can have both upon a Jew and upon a Gentile person. And almost immediately, Festus interrupts. Now you remember, this isn't Festus' trial. In reality, Festus has no business stopping him. Because Agrippa is the one that this trial is for. Agrippa, if you go back to the verse 1, Agrippa is the one who told Paul to speak. This is all in Agrippa's hands. Festus had no right to speak up. But Festus interrupts and he says, "You're mad. Thou art beside thyself." That Greek word there is the word for maniac. In other words, he says to Paul, "Paul, you're a maniac for believing that Jesus died and believing that Jesus was the first to rise." Maniac, someone who's lost all sense of understanding and respectability. Interesting, isn't it? When Paul testified in verse 11, if you look back very briefly to that verse, verse 11, Paul says of how he was exceedingly mad against them, and how he conducted himself towards Christians. Attacking Christians didn't make Paul exceedingly mad in the eyes of Festus. Whenever Paul spoke of how, on the damage that he did towards Christians, of how he was exceedingly mad towards them, Festus just listened. But the moment that Paul spoke for Christ, the moment that Paul spoke of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that got Festus going, "Paul, you're a maniac." Funny how in the world today, those that act in the most unseemly manners, young people and older alike in the streets, gospel preacher in the street can be ripped off their little stand. If they've a little box they're standing on, it can be pulled down off it. Their Bibles can be ripped in front of them. Their clothes can be ripped. People can get on and act like animals in front of them, literally making animal noises in front of Christians in the street. And supposedly they're the normal ones, but the Christians are mad for preaching Christ. No, D.L. Moody, the great preacher, had the nickname Crazy Moody. He didn't get that nickname until he became a preacher. Whenever he sold shoes, he was very well respected, very well loved. People came for his shoes. They knew they were getting a good pair of shoes when they went to Moody's. But the moment D.L. Moody became a preacher, they nicknamed him Crazy Moody. Why? Because he preached Christ. You know, even the ungodly call Jesus Christ mad. The Son of God. Mark 3:21, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. John 10, verse 20, many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. The gospel has always and will always bring that response from certain quarters. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And Festus here, he speaks up, Paul, thou art beside thyself, thou art mad. Paul's undeterred. But he realizes something here. Now as Festus is interrupted, he realizes very quickly, my window's closing. I've been given a free rein. I've been given the opportunity, the invitation to speak, to say what I want. And I had much more to say. But Paul can sense the room. He can sense, no, this here's very quickly closing. This is coming to an end. I need to get in quick. So he goes after Agrippa. And he points, as it were, the finger and he puts the question straight to Agrippa. Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He knows, I've only got this one opportunity. I've only got this one moment left. I've just got this one time when Agrippa's before me. And I must go after him. Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. My friend, tonight, thought of this in the study. The Lord only knows how many more occasions or opportunities you have to hear the gospel. The Lord only knows how many more times I'll preach it to you. The Lord only knows how many more times you will have the invitation to come to Christ. The question I ask you tonight is, what have you done with Jesus? Believest thou? Agrippa answered almost. Almost. But I believe for Agrippa it was almost, but lost. There are three reasons why he said he's almost persuaded. Firstly, he's almost persuaded because of pride. In verse 28, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, whenever you delve into this text in the original Greek, whenever you come to a sentence in the original Greek, the words can be put any shape, any way, any formation. The Bible commentators have looked at this verse on numerous occasions and they've come back and they've said there are a number of ways that this verse can be constructed. One such way is Agrippa asking the question, Paul, do you believe, do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian in such a short time? Now, whilst this was Paul's longest defense and testimony, yet it's really only a brief interaction between he and Agrippa. This was the first time we believe that Paul is standing before Agrippa. This is the first time that Paul is preaching to him. It's the first service, as it were, that Paul's before or has the pleasure of preaching to Agrippa. And the thought is that Agrippa believed he's worth more. Surely, Paul, you'd need to have more meetings with me than this before I become a Christian. Surely, Paul, you'd need to put a bit of more effort into it before I would come to your side. Surely you'd need to invest more time in me. Surely you'd need to give yourself to me. Surely there'd need to be that welcoming of me, that sitting down with me. Surely, Paul, I need to have this occasion with thee time and again before I could even consider coming to you. I'm keen. I'm the king of the temple in Jerusalem. I am King Agrippa. Paul, surely I deserve more. You think you'll get me on your side in just a few moments? Many there are who have a high opinion of themselves. Naaman in the Old Testament was such a man. Naaman was a man, it tells us, was covered in leprosy. From head to toe, even though he was a captain in the army, he was covered, he was unclean, he was covered in leprosy. When he came to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even come out to see him. Elisha just sent word out with his servant, he says to him, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. 2 Kings 5:11 tells us Naaman's wrath. Went away angry. He says, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. He will stand. He will call in the name of the Lord his God. He will strike his hand over this place. Surely he's going to do wonderful things for me. No, Naaman, just go down to the river and dip 7 times. Naaman's like, but I'm a captain. I'm special. Full of pride. In spite of the fact he's covered in leprosy, in spite of the fact he was the one who needed the help, yet he was stood to help. Why? Because he thought, I'm worth more than this. Tell me tonight, do you view yourself honestly? Honestly before God, do you view yourself as that special that you won't bow the knee? Some people believe the Lord will roll the red carpet out for me coming. Surely for me to be a Christian, if the Lord really wants to save me, surely he's going to make a great effort for me. The red carpet will be rolled out. The greatest meeting will happen. The greatest preacher will be there. The greatest congregation. Everything's just going to fall into place. It's going to be a memorable night. And it's all going to be a wonderful occasion of celebration. Why? Because I'm going to become a Christian. And the Lord will be so delighted to welcome me into his family. Is that honestly how you see the gospel? Do you know how Paul saw himself? Romans 7, verse 18, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Even though he was a Christian, on another occasion he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He knew within himself there's nothing worth. There's nothing of value. But here was Agrippa. Paul, do you really think you can persuade me, King Agrippa, to be a Christian? What an awful sin, what an awful damaging sin pride is to mankind. Another way this verse can be understood is Agrippa asking the question, do you think you can persuade me to believe this gospel? To become a Christian? In other words, do you really expect me, King Agrippa, to believe that Jesus died and Jesus rose again? Do you believe really that I am going to stoop to believe that someone can come back to life? That a man who was nailed to a cross, just like many others were nailed to crosses in Roman times, that someone who hung upon a tree could forgive my sin? you really think I'm going to believe that his death, his one death, is enough to cleanse me? That death which happened in the past, that's all that's needed. Surely there's more to it than that. Surely I need to do something. Surely I need to add something to it. Surely that death's not enough. Surely I have to put my own fingerprints upon it. Paul, do you really expect me to believe this message? I'm an honored guest in this house. I'm one who was asked for my opinion. Festus, the governor, came to me and says, Agrippa, will you come and help me? You really think that I'm now going to come down to this simplicity of the gospel? Pride. I ask the question tonight, are you letting pride keep you from Christ? J.C. Ryle, he said, we are all naturally self-righteous. It's a family disease of all the children of Adam. Romans 12, the verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Do you know, for pride to be dealt with, you need to be honest before God. Who are you before the Lord? What are you before the Lord? What do we need from the Lord? Here was Agrippa, almost persuaded. Only almost because of pride. But then secondly, it was almost persuaded because of peer pressure. So he says in the verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Remember, when this trial started, Acts 25, verse 23, it tells us on the morrow, when Agrippa was come in Bernice with great pomp and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains, the principal men of the city. So that morning, as the entire trial took place, it came in with a great procession, great pomp and pride to it. Agrippa was fanfared in. Bernice and he took their places up at the front upon their great seats. All of the great dignitaries, all of the principal men of the city, they're all gathered in around. Agrippa's pride of place. Surrounded by all of these men. Then Paul comes and points a finger straight at him. Agrippa, believest thou? In front of Bernice, Festus, in front of all of the dignitaries, they're all sitting and now they're listening. Now they're wanting to hear. What's Agrippa going to say? Because this little prisoner in front of them in his bonds, brought in no doubt with the chains upon his wrist. Maybe the chains have been taken off so he can speak. But here he was, a prisoner. And he's asked the queen a question, believest thou? You willing to publicly confess Christ? Are you willing to come away from your sin? Are you willing to identify with Christ? You willing to stand separate from Festus? You willing to stand separate even from your wife, Bernice? Are you willing to stand separate from all of these dignitaries? Are you willing to say, yes, I believe? Agrippa answers, almost. Almost thou persuadest me. You just think of Agrippa as he sits there. You think what's going through his head. What will Festus say? If I say I believe, what's Festus going to say? What's my wife going to say? What's the people in the temple in Jerusalem? I'm their king of the temple. What are they going to say when they get this word that I have confessed Christ? Maybe you're here tonight. It's the thoughts that have been going through your mind. What's my spouse going to say if I get saved? What will my parents say? If I go home and tell them I became a Christian? What's my children going to think? I've been the father, I've been the mother all of these years, and now I'm going to go home and tell them that I'm a Christian. What will my friends say? I want to get saved. I'm almost there. I'm almost persuaded. I've just one step to come. But what about my family? Maybe it's the case that someone here, maybe for years you've played the game of acting like a Christian. Maybe your wife, your husband, your parents, your children, maybe they think you're a Christian. In your mind and in your heart, before God, you know I'm not saved. How could I go home and tell them? I've been living a lie for all of these years. I know I need to get saved. I know I'm not saved. And I know I need the Lord. But how could I tell them? Now I'm reminded of Peter as he stood at the fire after Christ was arrested. Asked on those three occasions, surely thou art a Galilean, surely you're with him, surely thou was with him in the garden, surely you're a follower. No, I'm not. He was so scared of those that he stood with. Reminded of the rich young ruler who came before the Lord. Man of great wealth, great fame. One thing stopped them from getting saved. I have to give up all my money. People would know me as the one who used to be rich. But I've turned my back on it. He went away. Couldn't give it up. Do you know what Scripture says of both Peter and the rich young ruler in these instances? They went away sorrowful. It tells us of Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. Because he couldn't speak for the Lord. My friend, if you're almost persuaded, it's almost but lost. It's a life and an end of misery. If your life is dictated by peer pressure and those around you, you're more worried about what others will think, what family or friends will say. It's misery. My friend, don't miss Christ. Don't miss out on Christ over fear of others. Fear of man brings a snare. The snare of the fear of man when it comes to salvation is the trap that falls and that makes you fall into hell. To be almost persuaded, but to be lost. One final thing I leave with you this evening. I was almost persuaded because of pride. Because of peer pressure. I believe it was almost persuaded because of procrastination. It tells us in that verse that after he spoke, when he had thus spoken, verse 30, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. You know, after Agrippa responded, almost thou persuadest me, Paul countered, he says, I would to God that thou, not only thou, but also them that hear me this day, were both almost altogether such as I am. In other words, I want every single person in this room saved. I don't care if it's the governor, I don't care if it's the king and his wife, I don't care if it's the dignitaries and the principal men. I want every single person in this room saved. Agrippa got up. He left. Just like Felix, the man looking for the more convenient season, Agrippa puts it off. Agrippa, believest thou? Almost persuaded. But not today. Many times have you put it off? Many times have you said next week, next service? Many times have you heard that voice within your heart, that cry, that yearning within you, that desire, and is pressing upon you, I need to be saved. I hate my sin. I want Christ. I want to get away from it. But yet every week you're like, just not yet. Just one more day. I'm almost there. Almost persuaded. Not tonight. Can't get saved in front of my family. Can't get saved. Friends that I have at the moment, give me a couple of years, things are going to change. Can't get saved with where my job's at, what I have to do in my job. Can't get saved with where my preferences are, my priorities are in life. Those hobbies that are really coming to the fore, those activities that I'm getting good at in life, I can't give them up now. I'm almost. But not tonight. I'm reminded of the old gospel hymn. My father sang it at the end of every testimony. I'll get saved, but not tonight. Chorus says, give me just a little longer. Oh, the world, so bright. When I think that I'm dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. You know, William Guthrie, he said this, the Bible, which ranges over a period of 4,000 years, has only one deathbed conversion in 4,000 years. How many there are that say, I'm going to get saved when I'm old, but they never have the deathbed. Well, maybe tonight you think to yourself, if I'm this close in my heart, I know I need to be saved. And it's as clear as crystal to me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not getting to heaven. I know hell is where I'm heading if I don't get right with God. And I know Christ is the answer. And I know Christ's death upon the cross is exactly what I need. And surely if I'm this close, the Lord won't mind if I put it off for just one week. If God has put so much effort into me and bringing me to this very point and giving me this clear understanding, surely then God's not going to turn away. Just need a little more time. How close do you think you can be to heaven? Still end up in hell. Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. There was a scribe that the Lord spoke to in Mark 12 and 34. Do you know what the Lord said to him? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And yet the scribe went away. Right there. Almost. But lost. Agrippa sat upon that throne with all of his importance. Paul put one question to him. Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Agrippa said, almost. Thou persuadest me. Then he got up. He left. Agrippa, Festus, Bernice went over to the corner. Had a little discussion. And Paul's taken from them. He's going to be put in a boat. Sent to Rome. Agrippa was right there. Almost. But lost. Can you imagine tonight, Agrippa? I believe he's in hell. Almost. In hell tonight, he's hearing Paul's sermon over and over again. You see in hell the mental torment you never forget. Every message, every invitation, every gospel, verse, sermon, everything is in the mind of each person in hell forever. For Agrippa, he can remember the moment he sat on that throne. Paul said to him, King Agrippa, believest thou? And Agrippa can remember, I said, almost, thou persuadest me. I was almost, but now I'm lost. My friend, I plead with you in my Savior's name. Don't put it off. The Spirit of God has spoke to you, maybe on previous occasions, or speaking afresh to you tonight. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not next week. Now. We spoke about Dale Moody earlier. Dale Moody, one occasion, preached to the congregation, said to them, right, go home. Decide this week and come back next. Meeting finished. Great Fire of Chicago. Many that he had preached to and sent in their way that night to think about it. Went home and weren't alive the next week. almost. Oh, that not one here tonight would be able to say, I'm almost persuaded, but rather I'm altogether. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. Believest thou? Please don't say almost, but rather altogether. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for the striving of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge Thy word. And Thou didst say, even in the day of Noah, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. O God, if there be one tonight in this house with which the Spirit of God is striving, O Father, may it not be simply almost, but altogether. Lord, save a soul, we pray Thee. Work in our midst. Have mercy upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.